We're going to look this morning at Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 and the following verses, the story of Jesus stilling the storm. It must have been some storm if it scared those disciples. Many of them were tough, experienced fishermen who'd been brought up by the Sea of Galilee and had sailed upon it since childhood. Sailing a boat on rough seas was as natural to them as driving a car on busy motorways is natural to some of us. So it must have been some storm if it frightened those disciples. And frighten them they did. And frighten them it did. They thought they were going to drown. Now there are many Christians today who are scared. Some terrible storm has blown up in their life and they're at their wit's end. And maybe there's somebody here this morning who's just like that. You were sailing along so nicely on the sea of life and everything seemed to be going smoothly, everything going well in your family, in your job, with your health. But then suddenly, unexpectedly, just like this squall on the Sea of Galilee, a great crisis has blown up in your life. And to be honest, you're at your wit's end and don't know quite what to do. So let's look together at Jesus and his disciples in this storm. The first thing we notice is that disciples of the Lord do have to face the storms of life. That is obvious from the story. But I stress that because some have been given the wrong impression. They've been told that if you're a true Christian, you should have a happy, healthy, wealthy life, free of trouble. And if you do have problems, then there must be something wrong with you, something wrong with your faith. You can't possibly be right with the Lord if you've got big difficulties in your life. But that is a total delusion. It's just not true. These men were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They'd given up everything to follow him. We know that from Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus said to them, "Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. They were true disciples, yet here they are in the midst of a terrible storm and crisis. I go further. When the storm broke, they were actually in the process of obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. He commanded them in verse 35, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they were in the process of obeying him. So true disciples, seeking to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, do face storms and crises from time to time. And just to know that can be a great comfort. Now don't misunderstand me. Sometimes, of course, the Lord does send a crisis into someone's life to awaken them to the fact that they're not a Christian, or to awaken them to the fact that they've drifted a bit as a Christian. We recognize that a storm or a crisis can be used for that reason. But true disciples, even those who are seeking to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, can know these crises and these storms in their lives. I say just to know that can be a great comfort. Here you are, facing a violent storm in your life, and the devil comes to you and says, "Look here, you can't possibly be a Christian. If you were a Christian, God wouldn't allow you to have all this trouble." But here were disciples, facing this grave crisis. Sometimes, we have to face something worse than a storm. And that is that it seems at times, as though the Lord is unconcerned. Whilst the storm was raging, and the gale was blowing, and the waves were pounding the boat and filling the boat, Jesus was asleep in the stern of the boat. The wind and the water and the waves were bad enough. But far worse was that the Lord himself seemed to be unconcerned about the crisis they were facing. They'd left everything to follow him. They believed him to be the Lord. But now it looked as though everything was coming to an abysmal end, and the Lord seemed to be unconcerned about that. They went to him and said, "Master, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" Now, that was the biggest problem of all. And don't we know something about that in our lives? The storms and trials that rage in our life are bad enough. But sometimes, in the midst of these trials and difficulties, it seems as though the Lord hasn't noticed. It seems as though he is unconcerned, as though he's not bothered about our predicament. Remember that great crisis in the life of Martin Luther, when he was summoned to appear before what was called the Diet of Worms, to answer the charge of being a heretic because he'd been teaching the Bible. His life was at stake. The whole future of the church, in many ways, was at stake, humanly speaking. April the 17th, 1521. That was the time when Martin Luther made that famous statement, "My conscience is captive to the word of God. Here I stand, I can do no other." One of the great moments in church history. But did you know that when he went to bed the night before that great day, that critical trial, it seemed to him as though the Lord wasn't with him. It seemed to him as though the Lord had forgotten him. Martin Luther cried out the night before, "Oh my God, where are you? The devils rage and hound me. But where are you?" Sometimes it seems to us as though the Lord is unconcerned. Maybe there's someone here like that this morning, feeling just like that. You're in the midst of a big storm in your life. Everything seems to be going wrong. The wind is howling. The waves are battering your life. You feel yourself going under. That's bad enough. But worse is the fact that the Lord doesn't seem to be concerned. How do you react when you're in a situation like that? Well, first of all, we must not panic. These disciples did that. They saw the waves pounding the boat and washing over the deck. They saw the boat filling up with water, and they came rushing up to the master in the stern of the boat, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" You can hear the note of panic in their voices. And he rebuked them for that. But that's sometimes how we react, isn't it? When we're faced with trouble. We say we believe, and while everything is going smoothly and well, and when the sea of life is calm and all is well, we say we have faith in the Lord. When the storm comes, our faith tends to go to pieces sometimes. But a Christian shouldn't panic like that. Isaiah 28, verse 16 says, "Whoever believes will not act hastily." Whoever believes shouldn't panic. There's no need for us to rush around in a blind panic when a crisis comes. We should be able to face it calmly. And it's a bad testimony when a Christian begins to panic in the midst of a crisis. One of the best ways we can bear our witness and testimony to a troubled world is by showing men and women that if we are Christians, then we can face these storms of life calmly and peacefully. But if they see us in a blind panic, they won't be very much impressed with the Christian faith. Did you notice we're told here that there were other boats alongside the disciples and Jesus? There were other boats. There were people watching. How were the disciples going to react in this time of storm? So we mustn't panic. Similarly, we must not be peevish and spiteful to others, especially in what we say. That's always a great danger, because the crisis is so great. We begin to panic, and we begin to say things that we shouldn't say. Look at these disciples. They're in the midst of this terrible crisis, and they're all agitated, and they're churned up, and in that state of mind, they say something to our Lord which was vicious and cruel. Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? What a dreadful thing to say to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course he cared. Of course he cared. For them to suggest otherwise was both thoughtless and cruel. But that's the great danger. When we're in the middle of a great crisis and begin to panic, we get churned up inside, and we say things to other people which are hurtful and bitter. We even say things about the Lord which we should never, never say. We should never enter our minds. Now, those are the wrong reactions in the midst of the storms of life. These storms are a great test of our spirituality. While everything is calm in our lives, it's comparatively easy to behave in a pious spiritual manner. But when the violent storms come and everything seems to be going wrong, that's the great test. And we must be careful not to react in a wrong and unspiritual way. Other people are watching us, so we need to be on our guard. How then should we react when the storms of life come? Our Lord tells these disciples in verse 40 that they should have exercised their faith. He said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He's not telling them there that they're unbelievers. He's asking them why they didn't have faith at this time of crisis. That's obvious from Luke's account, where Luke translates our Lord's question as, where is your faith? So Jesus is telling them that they should have used their faith in this situation. And that is what we must do when a storm arises in life. We must apply our faith to that particular situation. What does that mean in detail? Well, first of all, it means that we must remind ourselves of the Lord's presence. The Lord is with us. We say we believe that. We need to remind ourselves of that when we're in the storm. I hope I'm not doing these disciples an injustice, but it seems to me that it took a little while for them to remember that Jesus was with them. Of course they knew he was there, but the storm broke and they began to fight and struggle to keep the boat afloat. They began to bail out and take down the mainsail and all the rest of it. They were so busy doing all that they temporarily forgot that the Lord was with them. It's only later that they went to him in desperation. We need to remind ourselves in the middle of the storm that the Lord is with us. We need to remind ourselves of his presence. And that will help us to say, now, there's no need for us to panic. We know the situation is difficult. We know this is a terrible storm, and it looks so dreadful, but the Lord is with us. And if he is with us, no real harm can come to us. We may be shaken, but no real harm will come to us. That's the first thing we should do. Remind ourselves that the Lord is with us. We believe that in our heads, don't we? We need to apply it to the situation in which we find ourselves. If you're going through a time of trial just now, and you're worried and scared, just stop for a moment to say, now the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. So that means that the storm cannot and will not overwhelm me. It may be a violent storm. It may be a terrible trial. And it may shake me. But if the Lord is with me, I shall be safe. That's the first thing we must do when we face these storms. Remind ourselves that the Lord is with us. Now that's what the Bible actually says, doesn't it? Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Remember David, Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Then following that, we need to remind ourselves of his power. Not only the Lord's presence with us, but his power. We must remind ourselves what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the all-powerful Lord. That's what these disciples should have done the moment the storm broke. They should have looked at this person at the back of the boat, there in the stern of the boat, and they should remind themselves of what they knew and believed about him. My friend, if you're in the middle of a terrible storm just now in your life, take your eyes off the storm for a moment and take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ and remind yourself of what you know about him. He's the Almighty, the Sovereign Lord. He was there in heaven with God from all eternity. He shared with God in the creation of the universe. Remember what you know about the Lord Jesus Christ. These disciples should have done that. They should have remembered that they'd seen him cleanse a leper. They should have remembered that they'd seen him heal the paralyzed man. They should have remembered that they'd seen him raise the widow of Nain's son. He has all power. He's the Almighty Sovereign Lord. He has but to say the word, and the dead are raised. He has but to speak the word, and storms subside. Now we see that in the story. He is the all-powerful Lord. That's what we believe. We say we believe that. But when the storm comes, put your faith into practice and remind yourself of that. The Lord is with me, and he's the Almighty, ruler of the whole universe. Then we need to remind ourselves of his pity, his presence, his power, and his pity. He does care for us. The devil tells us he doesn't care. The devil says if the Lord really cared for you, he wouldn't let you face this terrible trial. And sometimes we believe that. We listen to the devil. We say perhaps the Lord is unconcerned. And that's how it seems at times. But that's because our poor, confused minds are confusing us. The fact is that he does care. He does love us. He is concerned. Don't you care that we're perishing? Said these disciples. But obviously he does care. How do I know that? Well, ask this question. Why was the Lord of glory there in that boat? Have you ever thought about that? Why was the Lord of heaven? Why was the Son of God? Why was the second person of the Trinity? Why was the maker of the whole universe here on earth, asleep in a smelly fishing boat on Galilee? Well, here's the answer. He was here on earth because he cares for us. He cares for us so much that he left heaven and came to this world and humbled himself lived among men and women. He cared for us so much that he became a man, needing rest, needing sleep. He cared for us so much that he left the throne of heaven and had to sleep in the back of a fishing boat. He cared for us so much that he came to this world in order to die for us upon the cross. Don't you care that we're perishing? Of course he cares. He's our Savior. And he came to this world in order to redeem us. Whenever the devil tries to tell you that the Lord doesn't care for you because you're going through this terrible storm, remind yourself of that. That he cared for you so much that he left heaven and came to this world and died upon the cross. And whenever appearances may suggest to you that he doesn't care for you, remind yourself of his great pity that he loved you so much that he left heaven and came to die for you upon the cross. You say, well, I can't see that just now. My life is so torn apart just now, I can't see that he loves me. But he does. Even though you can't see it, he still loves you. When darkness seems to veil his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. Then, having reminded ourselves of his power and his presence with us and his pity for us, we must remind ourselves of his purpose. He has allowed the storm to arise in our lives for a good purpose. That's obvious, isn't it? If he is the all-powerful Lord who can command even the wind and the waves, and if he loves us and cares for us, then it follows that he must have allowed the storm to arise for some good purpose. In other words, Romans 8, verse 28, all things work together for good to those who love God. All things, even that dreadful, dreadful storm that is hitting you just now, God has allowed that for a good purpose. I do not know what storm is affecting your life just now. You do not know what storms may be affecting my life just now. But if we're believers, whatever those storms are, the Lord has allowed them to come for a good purpose. It may be that he wants to arrest us and make us think and take stock of our lives. Maybe we've been drifting a bit and he wants us to wake up to that fact. I'm not saying that is the purpose of every storm and trial. I'm not saying that, but that could be. He may have allowed this storm to come to awaken us to the fact that we're drifting a bit. Maybe he has sent the storm because he wants to strengthen our faith. There's nothing like a trial, a storm, to strengthen your faith. Many of us have learned that over the years. It's easy to say we trust the Lord when all is going well and the sea of life is calm. It's easy to say, I'm trusting the Lord. But when everything falls apart, when the storm is raging, that's when we really learn what it means to trust the Lord. So maybe the Lord has allowed the storm to come to strengthen our faith. I have no doubt that's why the Lord allowed these disciples to face the storm. They are going to be future leaders of the church. So they needed their faith to be strengthened. And maybe God has got some future work for you to do. And he wants to strengthen your faith, ready to do that work. Or maybe he sent the storm in our lives to make us more tender-hearted and sympathetic to other people. Sometimes we can be unsympathetic, can't we? And so the Lord allows something to happen to us to make us more tender-hearted. I used to be very impatient with deaf people. As a young guy with perfect hearing, I said, why do all those deaf people all sit at the back of the church, you know? Why don't they sit at the front? And I used to think, well, just shout a bit louder at them. But now I'm quite deaf. And I realize it's not as easy as that. And the Lord has made me deaf, I think, sometimes, to make me more patient with deaf people. And if I had my time over again, I'd be much more patient with people who are deaf. The Lord allows storms to come into our lives to teach us patience, to teach us to be more sympathetic towards those who are in need. Now, that's the way to react when the storm comes. Don't panic. Don't fret. Don't get all bitter and twisted and begin to lash out and say things you should never say. Why don't you care that we're perishing? Don't say that. Remind yourself. Exercise your faith. Remind yourself that the Lord is with you. Remind yourself that he's all-powerful. Remind yourself of his pity and his love and compassion. Remind yourself of the purpose he has in allowing these trials to come. And let me conclude with this. If you do trust in him and commit everything to him, he will come to your aid and help you through the storm. He came to the aid of these troubled disciples. Praise God, even if our faith is as weak as theirs, he will come to our aid in the midst of the storm. He stood up in the boat and rebuked the raging wind and waves, and there was a great calm. Ah, says your modernist, your liberal theologian, the storms on Galilee are so unpredictable. And it so happened that just as our Lord stood up in the boat, the storm subsided. Wonderful coincidence. That's how the modernist, the liberal theologian, dismisses this miracle of our Lord. But you know, the disciples knew more about the Sea of Galilee than these modernistic theologians. They'd sailed on the Sea of Galilee many times. They knew the Sea of Galilee, as it were, like the back of their hand, far better than any liberal theologian. And they didn't dismiss our Lord's miracle in that cavalier way. They were astounded. They were amazed. They said, who is this? That even the wind, the waves obey. They didn't say, well, the storms on this lake are unpredictable, so that's just coincidence. They didn't say that. They were astounded. They were amazed. And the Lord intervened and did this miracle, came to their aid in the midst of the storm to strengthen their faith. And the end of the story, the result was that the disciples were amazed. They were astounded. They were terrified. They were awestruck. They were filled with a sense of great awe and wonder. Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And that should be the result of any trial for any Christian. They fill us with a sense of wonder at our wonderful, glorious Savior. They deepen our love for him and our affection for him. And they prepare us for even greater challenges. You see, just across the sea, very soon, they're going to meet another enormous challenge, these disciples. The storm subsides, and they cross the lake to the country of the Gadarenes, and they face an enormous challenge then. They come face to face with a frightening demon-possessed man, shouting and screaming. This man, probably gone so far into sin, that he'd become demon-possessed, and he was terrorizing the whole area. And these disciples come face-to-face with him. But our Lord has prepared them, you see, for that. He's just proved that he's all-powerful, that he can calm the storm at sea. So our Lord can deal with a poor, demon-possessed man like that. And as we serve the Lord in this day and age, we will come across many challenges. We will meet men and women who are steeped in sin. We may meet men and women who've gone so far into sin that they've become demon-possessed. And we may despair of them. We may give up all hope for them. But our Lord reminds us, you see, I am the all-powerful Lord. I can deal with a storm at sea. I can deal with these people who've gone so far into sin that they appear to be hopeless. And our Lord prepared the disciples for this great challenge. And we will face many challenges in Christian work. But the Lord has reminded us in the story that he is all-powerful. So he can take hold of poor lost men and women, hopeless people, humanly speaking. But he can rescue them and save them and set them free. What a Savior we have.